Jastrzemski. Sports Radio 101.9 FM. The Fan. WFAN.
7:02 here on this Wednesday evening. It's JJ, John Jastrzemski. We are guiding you through the next 3 hours right here on The Fan. Get aboard at 877-337-6666. And it's always a pleasure to welcome in our next guest, who to me is one of the best baseball minds you're going to hear, and one of the best baseball minds that's out there. He is the former manager of the Orioles, the Rangers, the Diamondbacks, and of course the New York Yankees. And he's a television superstar on the MLB Network, the YES Network. He's got so many titles these days. The great Buck Showalter joins us. Buck, it's John Jastrzemski. How are you, my friend?
John, how you doing today?
I'm doing all right. And I'll tell you this, and I know you know it well, as a guy who's been in a big league dugout for a long period of time. You know, there are plenty of times I'd love to be you guys. Last night was not one of those times when Kevin Cash is yanking Blake Snell out of that game. So I guess I have that going for me, Buck.
Yeah, it's unforgiving sometimes. You're trying to please a lot of people, but you're trying to win the game more than anything. And I tell you what, John, I don't think I've ever had, other than maybe the 94 strike. You know, I did the game over in Arlington. I live in Dallas, and I drive back, and my wife tapes the game, so I kind of watch it on tape. And I was an inning behind the live feed, and all of a sudden my phone started buzzing around, and I was, you know, I turned the ringer off, and I said, what in the world must have happened? I don't know if I've ever seen a reaction from my peers and people, you know, just weighing in on it, and a lot of frustration. And, you know, Kevin's a good manager, and there's a reason why he's got a contract through 2024 or 25. I mean, I think he believes in a lot of that stuff, and there's, you know, there's, what, 14, 15 other teams that would trade place with him to be American League champions today when we woke up. So, you know, I understand some of the thinking. I really do, but it's a little unconventional, to say the least.
No doubt, Buck. And listen, you're spot on when it comes to Kevin Cash. He did a brilliant job all year. And I get the argument, right, that this is the way Tampa won a ton throughout the regular season. You know, I get that. The stable arms, guys throwing 98, 99 miles an hour. But, like, with the analytics, Buck, and listen, I'm all for looking at the data, understanding the data. I know what a resource it can be to you, to Aaron Boone, to Kevin Cash, to any of these big league managers. But I think the frustration for somebody like me and for a whole lot of fans out there, and I'm curious to get your take on this, is that delicate balance, right, between the numbers and what the data is telling you and what your eyes are telling you. Is that a change, Buck, that in baseball, well, you know, you've been around as long as you've been around, does that bother you seeing the way the game has evolved?
I don't know about bother. I just, you know, data is from things that have happened in the past. You know, it was very obvious the last three games that Tampa's bullpen was leaking oil. You know, they weren't pitching like they were. You look at the innings for starting, you know, they haven't even played half of a regular 162-game season, but because of how their guys had to be used to get to the World Series, if you look at their, you know, how they were pitching in the World Series, so that's where you say, okay, that data is what they did in the last 2 months. But right now they're not doing too good. So, you know, you got to kind of live in the moment there sometimes. And, you know, the best organizations are ones that embrace all ways to make better decisions. And whether it's analytically, whether it's boots on the ground, I like to call it, whether it's people that have a feel for it, you know, you need to make everybody in your organization feel comfortable to bring what they bring and not make someone feel muffled, so to speak. I mean, let's face it, Tampa would love to have five starters they run out there. They don't have them. That's why they have to use an opener. You know, they had to go get Charlie Morton because they only had two. And I heard something interesting from our MLB researcher today. They were weighing in, and they said, you know, the mistake made was he should have started Snell in the third inning instead of the first inning. And I was like, well, what happens in the first two innings? And do you think Tampa would have won that game 1-0? I doubt it, but wouldn't we have liked to got the opportunity to know? I tell you what, the feeling I got from a lot of people today and last night is they were just mad, upset, because they had this, they love baseball, and they had a chance to you know, as a manager, you want the players to decide the game. It's like umpiring a referee. You want to walk off the court or walk off the field and have the players decide the game. And that's what was frustrating last night, because everybody wanted, let's face it, everybody wanted to see a game seven, and it looked like there might be a chance. And, you know, that's kind of how they've been using Snell all year. Now, there's some physical issues there. The numbers say after X numbers around, well, maybe this is an exception. And managing and coaching and sometimes is about foreseeing the unexpected and seeing that there's a chance that might happen instead of what everybody's looking at. Data from history. Now we're dealing with right now, tonight, today.
Buck, if you were managing Tampa Bay, right, and you made a decision like this, and you know a guy like Blake Snell, as competitive as he is, you could see it in his facial reactions. Do you have to have a conversation with him after the game and be like, you know, try to get him where he needs to be? Because obviously emotion is going to be running high.
No, I think you let him have that space. And what is he going to say, John? Of course he's going to say those things. He expected to. And it's not the first time that's happened to him this season or in the past. You know, I think they have a lot of concern. You know, understand that when you don't have a lot of starters getting wins, you don't have a pure closer, and you're platooning at five or six positions, you know, you're not going to have to pay a lot of salaries, because you're not a whole lot of W's, not a whole lot of saves, there's not a whole lot of numbers you can accumulate when you're platooning. So, you know, they're trying to hold on to him and keep him healthy as long as possible, so that, you know, because they've got him at a very affordable price. And when he gets to the point where they have to put too much of their payroll into him, then he'll go somewhere else like they have. But they know who they are, and they know who they're not. And I'm not sitting here trying to support them, but you got to see both sides of the issue. It's just, you know, it was unfortunate because our curiosity didn't get satisfied last night with Snell. Boy, he looked good. And let's face it, 27 of the 51 outs recorded last night were strikeouts. 27 of the 51. I'm a little more concerned about our game in general, about the human factor a little bit.
You know, yeah, that's a problem, Buck. I totally agree. Listen, I wanted a game seven, and to me there's nothing more exciting, right, than like a guy going first to third, or even in game five when we had that straight steal at home. I know it was crazy. I know it was off the beaten path, but, you know, that's fun, Buck. That's exciting. That's going to bring people to our game. I'm glad you brought that up. The amount of strikeouts we have in baseball, you believe it's a problem. I'm with you there, 1,000%.
Well, I just think that, you know, it's not the player's fault. They're embracing what they're being asked to embrace. They're not hitting the ball away from the ship. They're trying to hit it over the ship. And that's the story for another day. Believe me, our commissioner knows that he's got some challenges. And, you know, he's trying to figure out a way to keep our game going forward. And it's tough, because you got to satisfy a lot of different entities in order to do it. I mean, let's face it, name me four managers that you can't wait till they come out of the dugout to argue anymore. There's not that, because they've taken that away with the replay. And, you know, thank goodness we have it in a lot of cases. But, you know, I just don't want a bunch of robotic, you know, strikeout, walk, home run. It's still about that's frustrating for a lot of guys that love the game.
The great Buck Showalter, Yes Network, MLB Network. He joins us here on The Fan. Buck, I'm wondering if you feel the same way that I do. The Dodgers, I applaud their persistence. They've been a quality team in the playoffs every single year, going all the way back to 2013. Was Mookie Betts basically the missing piece? Was he the Reggie Jackson of that group? You know, bringing him in, getting him from the Boston Red Sox? Because, man, I mean, from his defense to his base running to, you know, the big hits he had throughout this postseason, to me, that Dodger team needed somebody to kind of push him over the top. To me, that guy was Betts.
Yeah, and I think, you know, I love Mookie. I'm on record saying he's the best right fielder I've ever seen, right there with Ichiro. But I just, you know, I try not to put too much emphasis. You know, I think front offices are going to make a lot of mistakes this year if they put too much emphasis on this year evaluating players, you know, because you played a 60-game season. You know, what would the Dodgers have done if they played 162, and, you know, counting spring training and playoffs, it's 200 games. You know, you don't have that spring training lag the next year physically. It's a challenge. You also, you got to be careful. I think Mookie was that guy that gave them that extra little juice. You know, he's a baseball player who's very talented. You can tell he doesn't take himself too seriously. He's got that youthful exuberance and love for the game. You know, it's funny, I ran into his grandfather in front of the hotel after one of the shows we did, and man, there's no doubt. It's just outstanding talking to him for half an hour. I couldn't stop talking to him. But they had, they got Mookie and they got Kershaw. They got, over $60 million invested in two players. But after that, there's a lot of pieces there that they put together. Their evaluation of the things that they were missing. If you look at some of the background, I love looking at bios on some of their players and how they got them, whether it's a Muncy. There's about seven or eight of them. You go, they're out there. And the ability to evaluate and get those missing pieces are as important as Mookie is, because that's what's great about baseball. I can't make him hit with the bases loaded. It's your turn in the order. He could be the seventh hitter when you really would like to see him up there. So everybody's got to make a contribution of those 28 players now.
Buck, I want to equate what the Dodgers have done over the last couple of years and finally getting over the hump to what this Yankee team is trying to do. You were around the Yankees a ton throughout the season. They make the postseason. They beat Cleveland. They fall short against Tampa. And they've had a couple of brutal playoff losses the last few years. The Chapman game in back-to-back years with Altuve and Brousseau. Losing to the Red Sox. Losing in a Game 7. If you're in that front office, you're Brian Cashman and all those great front office people that the Yankees have, do you almost look at the Dodgers as like a sense of inspiration, saying, look, they were knocking at the door, they kept getting off the mat, they got back the following year, and does that kind of like talk you out of making like wholesale changes to a team that's been pretty damn good over the last couple of years?
Well, John, that's a good point. That's some of the questions that Brian and his guys are asking themselves. And, sometimes, once again, in a 60-game season, you can make some rash decisions that you are going to regret. I said on a show earlier in the year, sometimes the best decisions you make during the trade deadline is not to do something and look back on it and say, well, I'm glad we didn't do this. I'm glad we didn't do that. I love their young pitching. I really do. If you look at the pitching staffs, the teams that usually have some of their own homegrown talent, and you have to just wait on that maturation that they're going to have to get there. They've got some good young pitchers coming, and I love their makeup of their club. When you look at LeMahieu, you look at Urshela, and you look at they've got a lot of guys that play the game right and compete. And, John, just keep in mind, there's such a fine line between them even being in the World Series and maybe even beating the Dodgers. You don't know. It's just such a fine line. You grind like heck to roll the dice in October, and it's very frustrating when it doesn't happen. But, they've done a great job of giving themselves opportunities in the postseason and are expected to again.
Buck, if there's one particular thing that you see that the Yankees can improve upon so that in the postseason, they get over that hump, whether it's, adding a lefty bat, maybe it's more contact guys, another starting pitcher. If there's one particular weakness you would address, what would it be?
John, I've got we all have personal things looking at it. Well, what would you do? Yeah, you can rattle it right off. You can, but you're seeing it from a distance, and I'm not going to insert myself in this is what they should do and shouldn't do. I know I have personal feelings about some things, but they're so close. I think their what-ifs weren't quite as good this year as they've been in the past. They might have been if you played another 100 games, which they would have played. Their farm system is fertile and growing. They're going to have good young players coming. And I know personally from a distance what I think might be some good additions or subtractions, but they don't. They've got it. They got it wired, and they're going to be fine. They'll make, they'll continue to be competitive.
Do you see any similarities between what LeMahieu has brought the Yankees the last few years and what Paul O'Neill brought your team back in 1993? I think about O'Neill. Yeah. That trade book was as good as it gets, and I'm going to admit, he's my favorite Yankee all time. So I love the passion that Paulie brought to the field, but I see it with LeMahieu. Buck, I'm going to be devastated if this guy's not back on the Yankees next year. Full disclosure, I will be devastated.
He fits who they want to be. When you get a player who fits who you want to be, every stop I've been, all right, who are we? Who we want to be? How are we going to do it? Let's don't confuse the fans. How are you going to do it in New York is different than how you're going to do it in Baltimore. You just got to be consistent and not spend a lot of time talking about it, but just show somebody. And, he fits it. Everybody there knows it. They love the guy. He's a baseball player, and I can't give a better – and he goes, hey, I need you to play first tonight. Fine. Need you to play left tonight. Fine. Hey, can you play shortstop? I haven't done it in a while, but if you need me to, I will tonight. it's kind of like, what does the team need? He's always seems to deliver. Hey, we need a 3-run homer. There it is. Hey, we need a hit behind the runner. There it is. This guy understands the game, and his words will carry a lot of weight in that clubhouse. And you know, that's a great call with Paul, because you know, we traded at the time somebody was considered, you know, really a good player in Roberto Kelly, and a lot of people didn't know we were getting O'Neill, but Gene Michaels certainly did.
Was there a moment for you with O'Neill where it like clicked?
Oh, yeah.
Wow, we really like. Did it happen right away, Buck? Was it like a month or two in? When did that moment happen for you?
You know what's funny was Paul was a 196 hitter against left-hand pitching when we traded for him, and Stick and I, you know, trying to impress upon Paul, and Stick and I talked about how important it was in New York, especially getting traded for Roberto Kelly, that he get off to a good start. So I don't know if you remember, we platooned him early on so he could get going, and the fans, and I, Paul, boy, I don't even know if he's forgiven me to this day. And I said, Paul, every time there's a left-hander out there and you're still in the game, just look at my face out there and try to hit it right off his nose. And he did. And, you know, once he got established and started taking on all left-handers, you know, the rest is history. But it was important to us to get him off to a good start there in New York, which, you know, he took it and ran with it.
Buck, there are a whole lot of Mets fans listening to this show hoping that, you know, new ownership means they're going to be spending a whole lot of money. So there are three big free agents out there. Realmuto behind the plate, Bauer on the mound, Springer, who is a stud and gets big hit after big hit, formerly now of the Houston Astros. You could have one of those guys, like in an imaginary Buck Showalter world. Forget about the Mets for a minute. Bauer, Realmuto, Springer. Who's Buck Showalter picking for his team?
Boy, those are three good players. I'm always going to lean on the pitching part of it. You can never have enough. I mean, the separator is always the depth of that because it's so fragile. You know, the good Lord didn't tend you to put your arm over your head and jerk it down violently every fifth day. You're going to have setbacks. But all three of those guys are big contributors in positions that you have to be real good at. So you're good on all three of those fronts.
But final one, I appreciate the time. Listen, you're a rock star on TV, YES Network, MLB
that.
Network. I love having you on from time to time. It's always a ton of fun. Off-season rolls around, and there is a managerial vacancy that's out there. I know you're probably sick and tired of getting this question, but I wouldn't be doing my job if I didn't ask you. Would you be interested in getting back managing in 2021?
No, John.
Listen, I get paid the small bucks, Buck. I got to ask those questions, brother.
First of all, you know, I know one of my pet peeves is people are talking about jobs that people currently have. You know, it can be a very, you know, you do whatever job you have as good as you can do it and see where it might lead you. Never be working on your next job. I hope nobody gets fired, and I hope people that are deserving that have taken a good path to get the opportunity. You know, someone took a chance on me a long time ago. We'll see. Baseball's been great to me. You know, I feel great. I love the game. I hope it continue to get an opportunity to contribute to it because it's in some small way pay it back. And we'll see, you know, what the game has in store for me. And I hope nobody gets fired. I'll leave it at that.
Buck, you're the best. And how many touchdowns for my man Tua on Sunday? 2, 3, Dolphin win. I'm all fired up, Buck.
I wish he was coming to the rescue a little bit more of a guy that was struggling, and he's not. There's not a great – it's kind of like when you take Snell out, the most important batter of the game becomes the first guy. Anytime you take a starting pitcher out that's had success, that first hitter is real important because it keeps the karma going in your favor. I don't care if it's a wild pitch or a ground ball down the third baseline. It just changes the whole karma of the game. So his first series, I hope it's clean. Let's put it that way.
Amen to that. Buck, continued success, man. Love watching you. Enjoy the wintertime, and we'll be doing this again before you know it, all right?
I appreciate it, John. Thanks for having me. Y'all take care.
My pleasure. That's the great Buck Showalter. One of my favorite spots. I mean, as bright a baseball mind as you're going to find. Tough calls for Tampa Bay. But, yeah, the strikeouts, the walks, the lack of action in baseball, make no mistake, it's a problem. 7:21 here on this Wednesday evening. It's JJ, John Jastrzemski. We're right here on the fan. We got a lot more to do, so get aboard at 877-337-6666. We'll come right back.